Fresno State President Joseph Castro joins us on Valley Edition today. President Castro, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
You recently returned from Washington, where you were part of a group of higher education leaders from across the country who met with President Obama at an event about expanding college opportunity. What was that experience like, and what did you take away from that event?
Well, I was honored to be invited because it gave me a chance to raise the profile even more for Fresno State. It was a great gathering, very positive day. A number of university presidents from around the nation coming together with the president, First Lady, Vice President Biden, and other leaders, cabinet members were there as well, all focused on one larger goal, which is to get more students to complete college and to be ready to go into positions in the workforce.
Now, as part of that event, you also made an announcement that involves a goal for the university over the next 10 years to increase the six-year graduation rate to at least 70% in the next decade. Why so long, and what is the challenge specifically that you face in getting from where you are right now to that mark?
Well, each university leader was asked to make a commitment on behalf of their institution at this meeting. And so I committed that we would increase our graduation rate, as you said, from about 50% to 70% over the decade. I would love it to be 100%, and we're going to get as close to 100 as possible. 70 is a really good target, a good stretch target, would position us among the leaders in the nation of universities like ourselves when we get to 70%. There are a number of challenges that exist that we're going to have to overcome. One is the cost of education, making sure students have adequate financial support. Another is getting access to courses in a timely way, and we're working to streamline all that, strengthening our advising programs to make sure students get the right advice by the right people at the right time, and we're working to realign all of that. And looking at all of our support services to ensure that our students get the support they need to be successful.
I understand that issue of the graduation rate affects not only the students who are taking a long time to get through the program, and it affects other students in other parts of the university as well. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. I think that one of the primary roles of a university is to prepare the next generation of leaders in our larger community. And that's certainly a role that we played for over 100 years. And what I want to do is accelerate the number of people, the number of students from our university who are adequately prepared with a quality education to do that. And it takes all of us. It takes the students themselves. It takes their families. It takes the larger community to step up and be supportive along with our faculty and staff.
Every year, news organizations seem to run the same story, and they always report the cost of higher education continues to rise faster than the overall rate of inflation. Why is that, and is that sustainable in your view?
Well, there's certainly a data that indicates that higher education costs have increased faster than other parts of the economy. Fortunately, that's not the case with the CSU and to much of the extent with the UC as well. We are trying to keep our costs as manageable as possible. Tuition has not been increased in the recent past, and it's unlikely to increase in the near future. With Governor Brown and the legislature doing their best to support the institution. But as our trustees have said to the legislature and the governor, the university CSU system needs more investment from the public. We're going to work hard to increase investment from other sources in the private sector, and we're going to work hard to keep our costs manageable. But there's no substitute for strong investment by the public. And the state, and the rate of return on the investment is immense. So it's my hope that the legislature and governor will be able to support the trustees' proposal to increase investment in the CSU.
One of the topics on the table this year in Sacramento is the new legislature is about to begin. In fact, they've already begun. The governor is about to present his budget, and people are looking ahead to the next 2 years, and that's the extension of Proposition 30. How has Proposition 30 its passage impacted the CSU? There's been some people overall, statewide, saying, well, did it really benefit education as much as voters were told initially? From your perspective here at Fresno State, how important has Proposition 30 been? And moving forward, as you're planning not just for next year but for years beyond, is it essential to be extended?
It's a great question. I would say that Proposition 30 has been an essential part of stabilizing higher education finances. We've gone from an institution here at Fresno State and other public institutions that were really bleeding. To lose a third or more of your public funding in a short period of time is just an incredible challenge. But what we now have is stability and modest increases. I would like to see larger increases, and not just to return to the days of before, the way that we did it before, but a new era of investment, a new era of strategy, where we are working even harder and more effectively to make sure that every dollar invested gets a great return. And one way to measure that is the number of students who get a quality education and graduate and then go and assume leadership of businesses and our other institutions in our society. So taking a longer-term view here, I think that we're going to need to continue to diversify our financial portfolio and get even more private sector support from individuals and corporations. So we're doing a lot of friend-raising these days. But that's no substitute for continued investment from the government, from the state and the federal governments, and I hope that those will sustain themselves and increase over time.
You mentioned private fundraising. That's something that's on the agenda of every university president, from big private institutions to big public institutions. Especially at a public institution, though, sometimes you hear criticism saying, are we privatizing too much of the public higher education experience? How, from your perspective, do you balance that?
I think it's very important to find the right balance. We've been so fortunate to have many friends and alumni in the community who stepped up to invest, whether it's in scholarships or in new buildings or new programs. The important thing is to make sure that the university is advanced and that our community is served well. So aligning the views of philanthropists with the views of what's best for the university is the winning combination, and we've been so fortunate to have many people stepping up to do that. We had a great year last year that was even better than the prior year, and my hope is we'll continue to build off that success. And as people learn more about the university, they'll continue to invest in the university, and I think that makes our Fresno State so much stronger.
You mentioned looking back at the last year. The last time we talked to you, you had just been selected as the future president of Fresno State. Now you've been on the job for almost a year and a half, or at least in terms of the academic year. What has been the greatest challenge you've faced, and what has been the greatest thing that you take pride in that you've seen in this last year?
Well, the thing I take most pride in is how much people love Fresno State. Up and down the valley, across the nation, you know, 200,000 alumni and millions of people in the valley who just love Fresno State and they want us to succeed. That is heartening, and I get a lot of energy from interacting with folks about the campus, and I had hoped for that, but it's very encouraging, and I get energized from that. On the challenge side, this institution, like so many others, suffered dramatically during the Great Recession. So there's tremendous pent-up demand for investment in our facilities, in our programs, restoring some salaries so that our faculty and staff can pay their bills, and helping our students so that they are food secure and they can study and be effective in the classroom. So that's been the biggest challenge, is to try to make sure that we're reinvesting in those areas that were harmed a little bit during the recession, but not doing it in the way we used to. I say to folks around the campus, we're not going backwards, we're going forward. So the solutions are, what's the 2014 version of how we address this challenge, not we're going to do 2002 or 2008. So it's finding new solutions to challenges that exist. And I'm really encouraged. The morale, I think, is going up. The students are very highly engaged. We've got initiatives like Discovery that are doing really well and changing the face of our education program here. So I'm very encouraged by all that.
And Discovery is your tablet program,
yes.
Tablets with students. I want to follow up on something you just mentioned, and that's food insecurity. Traditionally, at a college campus, you have students who are hungry for knowledge. Here on this campus, as I understand it, a graduate student recently did a master's project. Their thesis was studying food insecurity on campus, and their research uncovered that 1 in 3 Fresno State students face some level of food insecurity. That's something we aren't used to hearing. How do you hope to address that, and how does that affect everything else that you do? This is a big issue that is not traditionally on the desk of a university president.
You're right. It's a huge issue. And when I was presented with that study, I was stunned. It was 1/3 of the students surveyed in that particular study. So we have to be careful and not generalize that across the campus. However, the important thing, I think, is that there are so many students that have this challenge. And we have gone to work quickly to address the challenge as effectively as we can. We opened up a student food cupboard just before Thanksgiving where students can go and get food when they need it using just their ID card. We don't ask any other questions. We have meal tickets if they need a quick meal at the dormitories, at the residential halls. We're putting in place low-cost meals in our convenience stores, healthy meals. So we're trying to make sure that they get healthy, low-cost meals when they can't go to the cupboard to get those kinds of things. And there's no way that I can ask them to be effective in the classroom if they're hungry. So we're really trying to make sure we deal with that. We're talking with a community food bank about a new partnership where we would be able to escalate even further our programs. But I'm very encouraged that Vice President Lamas has done an incredible job of putting in place these programs, and my wife has helped with folks from the community who are volunteering and making contributions. And it's just very encouraging to see people coming together to support this need, and I think we're going to be able to address it successfully.
You've been very active on social media over the last year and a half since you became president of Fresno State. That, I think, is one thing that people would notice is different from your predecessor, who wasn't individually, personally active on Twitter or things like that. What is that experience like with you connecting with students, and why do you do that? Because you've got a lot of stuff on your plate. You're dealing with all sorts of issues, and students are tweeting you, and you're tweeting back. How important is that, and why do you do it?
Well, being president is such a privilege, and it's an adventure. And the reason why I use social media is because there are 23,000 students. There are 200,000 alumni and one of me. And I could not engage with so many people in a traditional way. And so social media enables me to stay connected with larger numbers of students and with alumni. And I think that they enjoy it as much as I do. And it could be just a simple, I might see them in the library and they'll tweet me later, it was great to visit with you. Or it could be something like, hey, the lights are out in a parking lot, or the sprinkler's broken, or what's going on with this? The testing center line is long today. And it enables me to, I think, have a stronger grasp on some of the issues that they're dealing with. And I'm more effective as president because I know those things. And I may not always be able to fix them immediately, but it enables me to put them on the table and deal with them as quickly as I can. Or I can say to them, look, we fixed this, or you might have a misunderstanding about this, and clarify an issue. And the same with alumni. It's great. They're so interested in what we're doing, and they might live in Iowa, and they can stay connected to us through social media. So it's a wonderful thing. It's not a substitute for the regular interactions, which I also enjoy. You know, a lot of my lunch hours are down the student union, just meeting students and faculty or walking around the campus. It's not a substitute for that. It's a supplement, and I enjoy doing it.
You just joined us today on Valley Edition. Our guest is Fresno State President Joseph Castro. We're talking about issues in front of the university right now, and recently the university announced that it had to decline 5,000 students who otherwise would have been eligible to the university, decline their admissions due to the lack of capacity here on campus. When you think about those 5,000 students, the opportunity they don't get, do you ever reflect on what's happening to those students and the opportunity they aren't getting by being here at Fresno State? What do you do to solve that?
It's a great question. It's a significant challenge. And it's exacerbated. This 5,000 that we had to deny or will have to deny is exacerbated by the fact that we're retaining more students who normally would have dropped out. So our retention rate and our graduation rates are going upward. So in the near term, that means we have more students staying, which means we can take fewer. So our success on the graduation rate, ironically, is adding to the challenge in the short term. But in the medium term, as we graduate more students, we'll be able to accept more students. And then getting back to the point about investing in higher education, if we can convince the governor and legislature to enhance support for the CSU and the UC, Fresno State could then grow. And we have the opportunity, we have the capacity to grow. We could enroll 5,000 more students if we had the state investment to do that. The state will invest enough funds for us to grow by nearly 300 students this year, new students. That's a very small percentage of the 5,000. And while I appreciate the growth, we're not growing fast enough. And as we help support the K-12 efforts to increase achievement in the Valley, we will have even more students who want to come to college. And so I see over the medium and long term a need for us to grow and address that demand. And I know that if we don't do that, a lot of our students don't have the option of going to Los Angeles or the Bay Area. They are place bound. And so it's very important that we address this challenge as quickly as we can, because it really is unrealized potential for our whole region if we can't figure out a way to serve those students and help them get a degree and to go out and start businesses or lead organizations. It really is a missed opportunity. So I do hope that we can grow faster, we'd be prepared to do that, and then we wouldn't have to deny so many students admission to Fresno State.
The issue of sexual assaults on campuses across the country is an issue of national concern right now. What's Fresno State doing in that area, and how would you assess your progress there?
This is a hugely important issue. I would say that it's one of the most important ones that we're dealing with right now. We're enhancing our educational programs for our students and our faculty so everybody understands more clearly what the law states and what is inappropriate and what is okay. Sexual violence is completely inappropriate, and it's not going to be permitted on this campus. We've taken a strong stand on that. We have an online program to educate all of our students about what is okay and what's not. And I think it's very important that we stand together against any kind of sexual violence so that students here are safe. And you can't be successful if you're not safe, and that's very important.
Another issue that affects campuses across the country, including Fresno State, and one that's a source of concern amongst faculty members is the use of adjunct faculty and how they are compensated, how they are used in the way that a university academic division works. How would you say Fresno State is faring in that area, and what would be your concern there? Because the concern amongst many adjunct faculty members is they're doing a lot of work, they aren't getting very much compensation, and the burden is really great.
We have some great adjunct faculty, and I think we need to do better in supporting them, and we are doing better. At the same time, I don't want to grow the number of adjunct faculty as much as it grew in the past. That's a remnant of the funding challenges that existed in the past. I would instead like to see more, and we are hiring more tenure-track faculty who are fully a part of the institution in ways that I think were more long-term in nature. And again, I love our adjunct faculty, and we need them, and I want to support them. At the same time, I want to transition to have more of the tenure track faculty, and I think our students and the institution are better served by a model that emphasizes more the appointment of those kind of faculty.
You recently hired a new athletic director, comes from Oregon, has a considerable amount of experience when it comes to raising money. The collegiate sports environment out there is rapidly changing, and the quote-unquote power conferences have established their right to self-determination, I guess you could say, in terms of deciding what they want to do and how they want to do it without necessarily the support of the rest of the NC2A institutions. Some people question the long-term viability of a not just Fresno State's program, but schools the size of Fresno State. Is this something you can fundraise your way out of?
You're right. The landscape of the NCAA has changed dramatically and will continue to change dramatically. What it means for Fresno State, along with the other members of the Mountain West Conference, is that we need to invest more in making sure that our student athletes have the support that they need. And that's a great thing for the student athletes. It may be a challenge for some institutions, and it will be, and some institutions will have to make drastic decisions if they can't do that. Fresno State, under my leadership, will step up to the plate to invest more. I want us to do it in the smartest way possible. I want our friends out there who love athletics with us to join in that effort. So we're going to need more private support. The campus will continue to invest as well because academic and athletic programs are going to rise together. And so that means we're going to invest in our student athletes along with our friends. And I think together with Jim's leadership, Jim Barco, who is a Valley native, understands the region very well, I think we're going to be extremely well served, and I think the future is very bright for us in athletics.
You have announced that there will be an announcement coming next month in regards to wrestling. I'm not going to ask you to give us a sneak preview of that announcement, but wrestling was one of the first things that you talked about when you came to this job. Why is it so important to you, and why do you feel it's of importance to the university?
Well, I want people to know that I've listened clearly. This issue of reinstating wrestling is one that I hear more about than anything else when I travel the Valley. And it's people of all ages, of all professions. It's nearly unanimous. I have had almost no one say, don't do this. And when I looked at it carefully, what it means to me, and I think to the institution, when you kind of look at the core, it's about retaining our very most talented people in the Valley, those who would normally want to stay but can't because they're not able to compete. They're going out of state and competing there when we have tremendous resources here in terms of student athletes who would want to stay at Fresno State, and we could develop them as leaders here in the Valley. So that's, for me, when you strip it all down to what the core is, that's what it's about. And we'll have an opportunity to add another sport as well for women and have two new sports. And I'm looking forward to announcing that timeline in January.
Fresno State President Joseph Castro, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be with Joe.